Morning, folks. Welcome to WFIW Mornings. Well, that's not this. This is the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW FM 104.9, Fairfield, Illinois. My name is Bruce Dickey. I've got guests across the way. They are a crew that occasionally get back together in Fairfield. None of them live in Fairfield anymore, but always kind of like to catch up with these boys whenever they're in town as they get the opportunity to get back and visit Mom, I guess. That's pretty cool. Mom and Sis. Yep. How did we miss getting Cynthia out here, by the way?
She was still in bed.
Yeah, she's still asleep.
She's still asleep?
Sleeping.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we'll go from my right to left. Please welcome Steve Steiner, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello!
The professor is back in the building. That is so wonderful that the professor is back in the building. In the center, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Jeff Steiner, ladies and gentlemen.
Good morning, Wayne County.
Good morning, Jeff. How are you? I'll speak on behalf of Wayne County. Since I'm the only one still here out of you guys, I mean, you've all run off. And over there on the far, on my far left, back by popular demand, you didn't get enough to talk about last week, did you, Jason?
Had to bring me back.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Jason Edgington to the show. How you doing, Jason?
Good morning.
Staff, got it wrong. Technical sergeant.
Yes, sir.
Technical sergeant, Air Force, airman, or Air Force. You're not airman. That's like a private, right? You're way above that.
That is correct.
I don't want to get it wrong. That's all you need to do is get it wrong. Get it wrong. Get the rank of a fellow who can drop bombs on your house wrong. I don't want to mess with that at all.
I got a quick question.
Fire away, Steve.
Do the police listen to the radio?
No.
Right here?
No,
okay.
Never. Why?
Because I don't think they need to know we're all three in
there. So you're saying that there might be some warrant service still maybe looking?
I don't think there's any active warrants, but there could be after today.
Well, that's probably true, too. That's probably true, too. Okay, well, now the cool part is, in the travels that you guys all have, I want to talk with Jeff about Alexandria, Louisiana. You're living in Alexandria now, right?
Yes, sir.
Tell me all about it. Now, all we see in the news from up here,
was on the news.
It made the news.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, not Alexandria. We didn't see you on the news, but we.
I hope not.
Tell me about all the rain you've been getting down in Louisiana. You've been getting a lot of it, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Baton Rouge got a lot. They got.
I got to tell you, you told me how much. You said somebody else.
Baton Rouge is south of us, southeast of where I live at.
You're
they got 38 inches of rain in less than 48 hours.
You're on the northeast part of the state.
I'm in a central part of the state.
North central.
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 All right. Baton Rouge is
south of us.
South of you. Okay. Right. How much rain did you get? When you say you didn't get much, tell me how much that means.
I don't have a rain gauge, but everybody says it was 14 inches in our area.
In the same amount of time, like 2 days?
No, it was over a period of days. It wasn't like in Baton Rouge.
Baton Rouge, they got a lot more.
A lot. 30-some inches in 48 hours.
Did you get a chance to go down there,
no.
Or have you tried to avoid that town?
No, I'd avoid that.
Really?
Yeah, because you go down there, you got to work.
Did you notice there was no looting?
Yes, there was.
Was there?
Oh, yes, sir.
No, I didn't notice. I didn't notice any. I didn't see any looting on
the
news.
Had 14 people got picked up for looting stores.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I can't imagine looting when you know there's alligators in that water where you're walking.
Well, that's the thing. How many alligators? Do the alligators come out of the banks?
Yes.
I mean, whenever
yes.
this. I got to tell you, Steve. You mentioned that. I hadn't even thought about, Jeff, the amount of alligators you might have had walking around down there.
I had alligators walking around everywhere.
Well,
even when the water went down, they were still walking around.
All right, I'm not talking to you ever again. I'm scared to death. So did you see any of them?
I didn't see any of them, but you saw them on TV. They showed them on the news.
Yeah.
People walking around in the street, and there goes an alligator.
Well, now that's probably a little bit of a shock to the system, would you think?
Yeah,
I would scream like a seventh grade girl.
Did they have the folks from Swamp People come out and clean them up?
No, I don't think they came down.
They didn't have any tags.
They ran out of tags.
Are they near you guys? Is that
farther north in Monroe. West Monroe is where they're at.
That's the Swamp People TV show.
Uh-huh.
Well, I've never met them.
No.
You never met those folks?
No.
They never invited you to join?
No. Because
I got to tell you, I've seen some videos and some pictures.
Now,
I kind of think that you would qualify, or you used to be able to qualify. Would
probably
that make
so, but yeah. The alligators we catch, they're not harmed.
I see.
Okay.
We just take pictures.
We just pick them up, take the pictures of them, and let them go.
Oh, my gosh. That's scarier. Okay, what's the biggest alligator you've ever caught, taking a picture of and throwing back in?
Probably 6 foot, 5.5, 6 foot, catching by hand.
I'm kind of puny. Mine was about three and a half foot.
No, yours was four. That was a 4 foot alligator.
You caught a 4 foot alligator, Steve?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And it does work like this. It's 2 a.m. We're out frogging in the bayou.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, you're not out there actually alligator hunting, are you?
No, we're frogging.
You're gigging.
Of course,
no,
they say.
No, we're catching frogs by hand.
Oh, okay. By hand.
We don't
you
gig
reach
them.
In the bayou.
You don't gig them?
Barehanded.
No, barehanded. Catch
you're beaching in.
Reaching
into the bayou barehanded while there are alligators there about somewhere.
And snakes.
Yeah.
And water birds, because Jeff caught one of those off the front of the boat.
Yeah, I sure did, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
So what do you do? How do you,
well,
how do you frog hunt? I mean, you
the
just
boat driver has a mining a hat
beam.
On with the light.
A seal beam that
okay.
blinds him.
And he blinds him, and whoever's on whichever side of the boat, he just pulls up, and you just reach out and get him and put him in the sack.
How big are frogs?
Big frogs.
Yeah,
bigger than
the lake
hand.
Frogs are kind of small, but we go out in the swamps, the frogs get big.
The bayou frogs are
bigger than the lake
frogs.
Yes. Yes.
You ever catch a nutria rat?
No, uh-uh.
Do you ever shoot nutrias? I mean,
no, uh-uh.
I didn't know.
No.
They're not protected, aren't they?
No, they're not. You could kill them.
Yeah, they're like a pest, aren't they?
They're a pest.
Yeah.
And you only keep the tail and turn it in for $5, but you have to have the lease of the property in order to kill them.
Oh, I see.
You can't an individual go out and shoot them.
I see.
You have to have a lease. Then you get a permit from the Wildlife and Fisheries.
Okay.
And then you go kill what nutrias you want, and you turn them into the state, and they give you $5 a piece for them.
That's exactly right. He's a pest control right there.
That's
appreciate
right.
your pest control.
So, you're out in the boat.
Yeah.
You're frogging.
All right.
And all at once, they see red eyes in the water.
Okay, the dude with the
with
your,
the helmet
your boat
on.
Driver.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he goes, that's a gator. Catch him.
Whoa. Okay, hold on a second. Okay.
We also got to remember Jeff's son Ryan's the one driving.
Okay, I've met Ryan. Yeah, right. Ryan's a good driver, I'm sure.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. All right, so you've got the and whenever you see the red eyes, basically it's just the two little bulbs on top of the water.
That's
right?
It. Yes.
You don't see the
you don't see
jaws
else.
Or anything.
Uh-uh.
And the farther away the eyes are apart,
that's
the bigger the alligator. So you
it only
the ones with the little narrow eyes.
It only takes once to learn that lesson.
All right, I gotta ask then. I guess is it just a thrill thing? I mean, since you're only gonna keep them, you're not gonna keep them and eat them. You're not gonna eat alligator. Well, you might eat alligator if it's been prepared through. Yeah, but you're not gonna do that.
You're right.
We're not recording. You're gonna do that.
Yeah,
it's just photo ops.
A lot of the Wayne County people will understand this. The driver will say, "Look, there's a gator. Let's catch him."
Yeah.
And you take a swig of the alcoholic beverage in your hand, and you go, here, hold this.
Here, y'all, watch this. Okay.
And then you snag him out of the water.
I know, I got it. After you've done it once.
Bruce, you need to come down.
I know,
one
Jeff.
Year,
I appreciate you've invited
we'll
me over and over.
You
you've invited me over and over.
You could do a remote Bruce Dickey show on the bayou.
Oh, my goodness.
There would be cuss words when we're grabbing gators.
Need a sensor.
Yeah. I was going to say, after you grab one gator. All right, now, Steve, you've grabbed a gator, right?
Uh-huh.
You've caught a gator. And Jeff, you've caught one. Jason, have you caught one? All right.
I've caught a few.
You've caught a few.
Yeah.
After you've caught the first one, why would you continue to catch?
Because just to do it.
I haven't. One was enough.
We had some friends from Wayne City come down. We took them out and caught them an alligator. They've never seen an alligator in the wild. See him in a zoo.
I've seen him on golf course. Does that count? That's wild.
Yeah, you could say that.
Yeah.
But in a swamp, it's different.
Yeah,
I bet it is. In a golf course, how many did you see?
I saw one or two is all.
Well, when you go out in the swamp, you see hundreds.
Of alligators.
Alligators.
Yeah.
Especially at night.
I cannot believe you guys are sticking your arms in the water.
Well, if you want to collect them, they love marshmallows. White marshmallows.
Yep.
They do.
So you drop the marshmallow, it looks like a bobber there on top of the water.
They'll chase your cork while you're fishing. And that's because somebody has fed them. You're not supposed to
feed
them.
Yeah.
And they think it's bait. I had one bite my crankbait one time because it was white.
I was there.
And I caught him.
And it was a $5 lure. You talk about being mad.
I'll bet you Jeff was angry.
I was more than angry, but I'm not going to say
all
what.
Right, all right. So have the waters receded now? We got to talking about the flood. Are they down?
Yes.
So, but
all these houses are all being gutted.
Yeah, because there were how many houses were under? Billions of dollars worth of houses.
I think it was 40,000 houses. This one area that flooded in Demon Springs is Baton Rouge.
Yeah.
Is not in a flood zone, and it flooded up to the ceilings in people's houses.
Wow! Oh my! That's the worst. The worst part about that is, if they're not in the flood zone, they wouldn't have flood insurance anyway because it wouldn't have been required.
That's exactly right.
And I don't think you can buy it unless it's required.
That's
right?
Right. That's right.
So these people are out of luck. Are they gonna be able to what are they gonna do?
I imagine the federal government's coming. FEMA's bringing trailers in right now.
Oh, are they really?
They're supposed to come.
We've seen them, haven't we?
Yeah, they're full of mold.
Full of mold and formaldehyde.
This is great. I'm talking with the Steiner boys here, as well as Edgington. Do you count as a Steiner boy?
Halfway.
He's a redheaded stepchild.
We'll be back on the Bruce Dickey Show on AM 1390 WFIW-FM after these. Back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois. My name is Bruce Dickey. Appreciate you tuning in today. My guests across the way, I've got the Steiner Boys reunion in here today. It's Steve, Jeff, along with Jason Edgington.
Stepchild.
But I don't have much hair anymore.
I was going to say, I don't know if you can tell if it's red anymore. Can you tell if it's red?
That's kind of a receding hairline.
Jeff is the oldest. Steve is the middle child there, middle son there. And, of course, Jason would be the youngest.
It's okay, Bruce.
I wasn't going to say that.
I was the baby for like 16 years.
You were the baby for the longest period of time before Jason showed up. Did you even live with Jason much, Jeff, or when did you move away?
No, I was gone.
No, he ran away.
So you've been in Louisiana since then, right?
I left here in 1978.
Ran around to...
I've never been back.
Well, good for you.
Well, you have to visit.
Oh, well, they'd become busy.
Well, you're retired now, though, and and you lived you've lived a good long, full life down there. What did you do?
Where I worked at?
Yeah.
I worked in the shipyards in New Orleans.
Oh, in New Orleans. Okay, I thought you were in Thibodeau.
Well, I live in Thibodeau.
Yeah.
Lived in Thibodeau and worked for the shipyard in New Orleans.
Well,
my first 8 years I was there, I worked in the offshore division in Morgan City.
Okay.
Where we built offshore drilling rigs.
Yeah. So now your dialect has somewhat changed over the years, hasn't it?
Yep.
You've become a more of a southern drawl, I guess. Do people down there still think you talk funny?
Yeah.
Do they really?
Yes.
You still have some of the Illinois dialect, apparently.
Yes.
No kidding.
I've never picked up the coon talked.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, I know what you're talking about. That was
close. Well, let's say the French talk.
The Cajun.
The Cajun talk.
Really?
Now, my son, Ryan, my youngest one, I wished he was here.
Yeah, because I've talked to him.
Nobody would understand what he's saying, but me.
That's a lot of fun talking to Ryan. I have a good time talking to
he's
Ryan.
He's coming down. Up.
Is he coming up? Yeah. When's he going to be in town?
Thursday.
Okay, good.
Thursday
good.
Night, probably.
Oh, wonderful.
That's, when you're talking to Ryan, just look at him and shake your head and grin.
That's exactly.
Because that's all you understand.
That's what Mom does.
All right, Steve, now you're the middle child. Well, now kind of one of the middle children.
Yeah.
You and Jeff are the middle children because then Cynthia older.
Cynthia's
older.
Yeah, she's old.
Okay. She's old, yeah.
And you've been, how long have
we
you been
you though,
out?
Honey.
How long have you been out of town now, Steve? You moved to Carbondale 8 years ago, Murfreesboro?
I left Fairfield in 2001 or two.
Okay. Has it been 14 years?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I cannot believe you've been gone for 14 years. It seems like 30.
Yeah, no kidding.
You're in Kansas City now. You're in Kansas City.
Yes, I am.
How do you like Kansas City?
KCMO, baby.
Tell me about
Kansas
City.
It's a fun town.
Yeah?
Lots to do. We live right downtown. It's not like downtown St. Louis.
How so? What's the difference?
Well, the traffic. People are driving.
Actually, in downtown Kansas City, there are people that hang out there.
Yeah.
Whereas in downtown St. Louis, if there's no game, there's nobody there.
Right. But there's a lot of people live downtown. People are driving 20, 25 miles an hour. There's no horns blowing. And we got a new trolley.
You have a new trolley?
Yes.
Where does it go?
It goes from the City Market to Union Station, 2.5 miles. Hmm. Down Main Street.
Okay, so... I'm trying to think of the street numbers. Does it go out? It doesn't get all the way out to Country Club Plaza?
No. They're expecting to expand it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it's going to go like from 45th all the way down to...
KU Campus.
Which is... Is that like 6th Street?
Well, we're on 8th, and it goes down to 3rd Street now.
Oh, really?
So then they're going to go all the way south to the college campus.
No kidding.
Past the club. Past Country Club Plaza.
Yeah, because you'll be getting into the 50s down there, won't you?
Oh, yeah.
You'll be able to go all over town.
Yeah. We go to First Friday. They have First Friday every First Friday, and it's in the Arts District.
Uh-huh.
So we can take the trolley down there, and you go through these galleries, and they have free wine. And
yeah.
It's just a great time. A lot of food vendors, bands on the street.
Tell me about the Power and Light District. That's kind of a burgeoning area now, too, isn't it?
Power and Light is about 4 blocks from us. Every Thursday they have a free concert, KC Live. You can get, 8,000 or 10,000 into the outdoor area.
Wow.
And then there's probably 15 bars around the outside of that area.
Is that right?
Yeah.
The people are just... you see, now, whenever, like, the Olympics are on or World Cup soccer, they were filling out they're filling up that whole 8,000 people area.
Oh, yes,
right?
Yes.
For people to watch games.
Yeah,
for
they have...
For people to watch television.
They have one big screen that's probably, 40 by 60.
Wow.
It's huge. And then it's right across from the Sprint Center, where they have a lot of concerts and basketball in March.
Tell me about the VA. What's going on in the VA? Have the last time you were here, you had a relatively new commissioner guy, or what do you call it? Director.
Director, yeah.
Director. Is he still there?
He's the secretary. Yes, he is.
Is he making effective change?
I believe he is.
I mean, last time you were here, you had some frustrations. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. No, things are getting better. We still got a lot of bad press, but internally, things are working fairly well.
Yeah. How's you also had a nice new homeless program that you were developing. How has that worked? And have you, well, at the time, you said that there were other folks wanting to copy it.
I
wondered if you've been able to spread that around.
Yes, we have. We're working in a collaboration with the community partners.
Uh-huh.
And
who are they?
Oh, they've got a bunch. They've got the homeless program for the city,
uh-huh.
And there's just a lot of people that work on that, Salvation Army and
just different charities,
yes,
just different charitable
different
organizations.
Charities. But what we do now, we've got an outreach guy that goes with the Kansas City Police out to the homeless camps.
Yeah.
And they're looking for veterans, and they bring them in, and we try to get them in stable housing.
How effective has that been? Can you still find them?
Because, we still find them.
I've seen, like, video or television video. They did that, like, in San Diego or something.
Yes.
They had just, like, hundreds and hundreds of veterans that they were piling into a camp to try to work them through the process.
Right.
Is that you're not finding that kind of number, surely, anymore?
Not that many numbers, but there's always some that we just can't find. But we'll eventually find them and get them in. So probably four or five a week.
Really?
And then a lot of them get in, and they want to go back to the bridge. You know, they just don't want to be around people.
Is there a typical homeless person describe somebody that would be your typical homeless person in that they've been on alcohol maybe or drugs or just fallen through the cracks of society, I guess, right?
It's really not that typical.
There's nothing.
No.
One person can be as different from the other as
yes.
Is that right? No.
Yes.
No generalizing.
Yes. Huh? No generalizing. And you can look at them and think they're not homeless, or you look at them and go, they're homeless and they've been housed forever.
Is that
yeah.
right? That's crazy.
Yeah. That stereotype. Just throw that out the window.
Is that right?
That doesn't work.
No kidding. How many folks do you have involved in the outreach, do you think? And how many folks have you been able to take off the
We've probably taken
take off the streets, do you think?
So far this year, I would guess probably 70 or so.
What kind of number want to get back out there on the streets? I guess I don't understand the mindset. They just don't want to have to depend on people?
Well, they don't want to depend on people. Some of them don't like to be around other people.
Yeah.
And some of them don't like to follow rules. Because,
yes.
you know, when you come into housing, you have to pay rent.
Yeah.
You can't have loud music, whatever.
Yeah.
And that's just their lifestyle. And as long as they're competent,
go ahead and let them live on the street.
We give them resources. You know, this is where you can go eat. This is where you can get clothes. Here's free haircuts. Here's free dental.
Chance to find you got to get the haircut and you got to have good clothes to
yep.
find a job.
Yeah.
How many? How often do you think somebody will reject that and go back onto the street?
Probably 1 or 2 out of 10.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's a pretty low number, but that's where people are talking about the homeless. That's the ones they'll be seeing, is the ones that are chronically homeless that will not accept any help.
Is it frustrating for you whenever you've worked through these? Because I presume. Now, some of these people you will have seen more than once.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We got a guy the other week, lost both his legs to frostbite last winter.
Mm.
Come on, let's get you off the street.
Yeah.
We'll get you into housing, da-da-da-da-da. And he didn't want that. He went back out under the bridge.
Just living under a bridge?
Yep. And it's like we brought him in last week again. He goes, I probably need to come out from under the bridge. So we're going to get him housed.
Wow.
So sometimes it's 3 or 4 or 6 times when you see them until they're finally going, yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Yeah,
yeah, that's a good idea. Right?
I think it makes sense.
When you lose some limbs, I'd like to.
How, you say, under, are there, is it like a shanty town under this bridge, or are people put tents up, or how's that work?
Yes, tents.
Boxes?
Not really cardboard.
They'll
go find metal, that's blown off a roof
like
somewhere.
Tin. Yeah.
Like
mm.
tin,
roofs.
And they'll just build them a little
build
shack.
Build a little lean-to, a little shelter.
Yeah. And then a lot of them, in the groups like that, they help each other out. So
yeah.
It's like a little community.
Do they panhandle for the most part?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Is that how, I didn't know if any of them
some
got
of them
disability
panhandle,
checks.
Some of them are getting disability,
yeah.
And they just decide they want to live along the river.
How are the other communities how well have you been able to translate this program that you developed, or you and your team developed? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
How well have you been able to transfer this to like other VAs around the country?
It's working good. We had a national directive to end veterans homelessness.
Yeah.
So then they gave us the freedom to tailor it to whatever area we're working.
Okay.
So what works in Kansas City won't work in San Diego, won't work in Washington.
It's different kinds of bridges.
Right. And different kind of climate.
Well, yeah.
But we should be announcing Functional Zero in Kansas City this fall.
What's Functional Zero?
That is, we have offered housing to every veteran we found.
No kidding.
Yes.
Wow. You must be very proud.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and back when I was in Marion, I helped a guy out. I got a call right around Christmas in Kansas City, and it was him, so I called him back.
Oh, just this last Christmas, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he says, hey, I just wanted to let you know, I listened to you. He says, I'm in St. Louis. I've been working 9 months.
No kidding.
Haven't had a drink of alcohol in a year.
How about that?
And he's housed, and I usually don't get those follow-up stories.
Sure. That must be pretty fulfilling.
That was satisfying.
Yeah.
But, yeah, when I see these people, they're at their lowest.
Yeah.
And it just takes a little while to climb out, and we give them services to help them along.
So. Well, that's outstanding. Well, I'm talking here to Steve Steiner along with Jeff Steiner and Jason Edgington. Always a good chance to talk to these folks. When we return, we're going to might even let Jason talk a little bit. We have
we're going to talk about barbecue?
We're going to talk about barbecue.
Barbecue's way more important
We're going to talk about barbecue and brisket and all kinds of stuff when we return here on the Bruce Dickey Show. You're listening to the Steiner Boys and Edgington on the Bruce Dickey Show on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield. Back in a bit. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in today. I've got guests across the way. It's Jeff Steiner from Alexandria, Louisiana, along with Steve Steiner coming in from Kansas City, Missouri, and Jason Edgington coming in from Necton, Norfolk, England. All right, Jason. We had...
Hello.
Yeah, there you go.
Hello, mate.
We had some brisket last weekend. It was very good.
We sure
Outstanding
did.
Beef brisket. Do you get that kind of quality of beef in England?
No, we don't.
And you can't
get
it in restaurants?
Well, I have a local butcher. He gets some decent stuff.
But yeah.
It's really
But you pretty much have to create it yourself, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I smoke a lot of...
You smoke a lot.
Of different stuff.
Which end do you like?
I think they both
That was before the military.
Yeah, really.
Okay, so you don't get the good restaurants over there. You don't have good beef restaurants, good steakhouse.
You'd have to go to London. You can find some.
You can find barbecue?
Not really barbecue. We have a local guy down the street. We live five houses away from a restaurant, a pub.
Yeah.
And he's a pretty good chef, and he does a decent pork belly.
Really?
It's pretty good. But as in their brisket, it's nothing like what Steve just brought home.
Steve, tell me about living in Kansas City. Now, you are, and people may or may not know this, you are a professional barbecue judge.
That is correct.
How does one become a professional? Do you just have to go online and fill out the form, or it just takes some time, doesn't
it? Yeah, you join the KCBS, Kansas City Barbecue Society. Then you have to go to a barbecue class.
Okay.
To learn how to judge the barbecue.
Okay.
And then they send out,
teach you how to eat.
They send the bull sheet out once a month.
The what?
Bull sheet.
Okay, I appreciate that. Appreciate the clarification.
I had to say that slowly.
I appreciate that, too.
And it has all the barbecue competitions all over the world, and you just email them. And
you just pick and choose which ones you want to play in.
And if they haven't filled up, they'll say, sure, be here at whatever time.
Do you get paid?
No.
No, it's all volunteer, right?
It's all volunteer.
Free food.
Well, yeah.
But the food, if you've ever cooked barbecue, it takes hours, a lot of preparation, just a lot of work. As a judge, you show up about 8:30, 9 that morning, sign your name, they check your credentials, and they say, come back at 10:45, you grab a seat, and they just start putting barbecue in front of you, and you just start eating. So after a two-hour competition or four classes, you have ate probably 48 ounces of barbecue.
Oh, my God. Do you eat each one? I guess you owe it to the competitors to at least, even if something looks tremendously unappetizing, unappealing
to taste
you. You still have to taste it.
Yep.
Does anybody I know in wine sommeliers, they spit out.
Right.
After tasting and smelling wine, they'll spit. Do you do that on
actually,
barbecue?
Actually, we're all carnivores. No, we swallow.
Oh, okay.
Chew and swallow.
I just making sure. We did this brisket competition last week, and it was a lot of fun.
Oh yeah,
you have a lot of fun doing this, don't you?
Yes, a lot of fun.
What's the most you've ever eaten in a day? You think doing this?
Oh my gosh, probably at the American Royal.
Where's that?
2 years ago. That's the Granddaddy Barbecue in Kansas City.
Okay,
there was 565 barbecue teams.
565 teams.
Yes, it's huge.
I got to tell you, we had seven, right?
Yep. We had eight. One got mad and
didn't play. He didn't submit his barbecue, and it was supposed to be really good.
Yeah. Which we need to thank Steve for that, because we didn't have to make a conference call.
We did ask
into
Steve
Kansas
for tips.
City.
It took us, and we also wrote. We wrote comments, and it took us to judge just seven barbecuers. It probably took us 45, 50 minutes.
Right.
How long does it normally take for you to judge? I mean, with 560 competitors, there must have been a lot of judges.
A lot of judges. Mm-hmm. So we did five classes, chicken, pulled pork, ribs, brisket, and sausage.
Sausage, too?
Yeah.
Okay.
And you get six.
Somebody's making their own?
Some of them do, yeah.
Okay.
But you get six of each class.
So each judge will go.
I'll do six pieces of chicken.
That's 30. That's 30 different sets, isn't it? 30 different.
Yes. And so I try to take a bite out of each side of whatever they're presenting, because I want let's see the uniformity.
Sure.
So you take an ounce bite out of each side. That's how much you're eating.
Yeah, of each side.
Yeah. Of each piece.
Oh, okay.
So you're doing chicken. You got six chickens. That's 12 bites.
Cool.
And I see. Okay, I misunderstood. Okay, yeah, I see what you're doing now. You're going to take one eat from the right side of the chicken as well as the left side of the chicken.
Right.
Just do you have to also separate dark from light meat?
No. Usually, it's all thighs.
Okay.
Do you ever get the meat sweats?
Sometimes.
I'm going to say he had that. He had that last Sunday.
Yeah.
And I think I probably worked through mine, but
time we got to the sausage, we figure we ate almost or right at 60 ounces of meat in 3 hours.
Ladies and gentlemen.
That's impressive.
Well, then after you get done judging, of course, you're only drinking water and
right.
all that.
Yeah, right. Well, see, now that we did alter our plan
right.
at the local level. We didn't stick with we didn't stick with the program.
Well, after every competition, as soon as you're done, you take off and go find some ice cream.
Why is that?
Well, this palate cleansing? Old judges told us. No, there's some enzymes in the ice cream that will break down meat faster, and then you won't have that backlash of that smoke flavor.
Well, that would have came in handy 2 weeks
nice.
Ago.
Thanks a lot, oh. Steve.
I guess I forgot that part.
That would have been real thoughtful.
But, yeah, it really works. Just wow. We usually go to just the ice cream place and get a small sundae and just sit and eat it down. And, I mean, 2 hours after you're done judging, you're going, I feel pretty good.
Wow.
I love the thought of that. That's yeah, that makes sense. Might need to do that.
But that's all you eat that day. I may have a half a piece of toast before we judge when we leave the house just because you're hungry.
Yeah.
But then when you start eating, there was a kid that sat next to me at the Royal. He was not a judge, but his parents were. So they set him next to me. And I said, just take a bite or two.
So you were kind of helping teach this kid how to judge?
This kid's about 18, 19.
Uh-huh.
So the six chicken thighs we got, he ate the meat off every one of them.
So I got a question. So if you find one you like, do you get to take any home? Do they give you meat to take home?
It depends on the sponsors or whoever is putting the competition on.
Yeah, they might also be selling tastes. Yeah,
no, they don't. Cannot sell KCBS.
Oh, really?
No. So
anything left over, these people are taking home themselves? Is that?
No, they usually throw it in the dumpster. They're done with barbecue.
Really?
Yeah. But
why don't they give it to the homeless?
There you go.
Some of them will say you can take your pieces home. So you take a bite off each side, and then after you're done, you throw it in Ziplocs, and we carry a cooler with us, a little cooler.
Yeah.
So with both of us judging, we're going to take home a bunch of barbecue. And then, you know, that's on Saturday, and by Wednesday, it's like, just throw it out. I can't eat any more barbecue.
So when you have the party and your friends come over, they don't mind that bite mark in the chicken?
Not usually. Not if you warm it up and just tell them, well, you don't know what happened to that.
What's the, okay, I got to know then. You're in Kansas City, which is the home of fine, fine barbecue, outstanding barbecue. Do you find better barbecue at these contests or at the restaurants? What's the best barbecue you've ever had? Do you know, or can you have eaten so much you can't really differentiate?
As far as restaurants, KC Joe's is probably
Where's the
best. That's in Kansas City.
Where in Kansas City?
Kansas City, Kansas, down on Southwest Boulevard.
Oh, it's in Kansas.
Yeah.
Okay,
but it's 3 miles from where I live.
Yeah, yeah.
It's good barbecue. If you go down, I shouldn't do a plug, but I'm going to. If you go to Pat's in Murfreesboro, that's excellent barbecue.
Really?
Yes. It's on 14th Street, North 14th. And, at competitions, we did one in Metropolis. And the guy for his chicken gave us Cornish game hens, the thigh and the leg of a Cornish game hen. And so we're sitting there. You're not allowed to talk while you're judging. You just do your own thing. And then after they pick up the scorecards, you can talk about what you had.
Mm-hmm.
So the table captain comes back, we're all done, and he's taking the turn to cards in. He goes, which chicken do you like best? And I says, I guess that one, because there's no meat left. I ate every bite of it. And as I looked at the other judges, there's six judges at a table, and five of us gave him perfect scores.
Wow. How about that?
It was excellent.
No kidding.
And then I've had brisket. You do the pull test, and I couldn't pull it apart. It's a little tough.
That's a little tough. See, you'd have to go ahead and eat that, though.
You try to take a bite off the corner, and, of course, the toughness knocks it off. And
so how much money do some of these guys win for, like, getting first?
Probably varies.
The Royal's pretty expensive. But,
The Royal, they're probably bringing big rigs in there.
Yeah. Well, they got, $30,000, $40,000 smokers, don't they?
No,
more than that,
But then there's some of them that are doing it on 55-gallon drums.
That's
the guy that did
the
chicken was on 55-gallon drums.
Is that right?
It was him and his wife and two little girls. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Did you get a chance to talk to these people afterward?
Actually, I didn't talk to them that day, but I knew I'd graded the number one chicken because they won the contest.
Yeah.
So the next competition we were at, I saw him on Friday night and told him he was doing a great job.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, now that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Does everybody get to see the comments, or does only that person get to see his comments?
No. The scoring system, you get to see all the judges, what they scored. You don't know who the judges are.
Right.
And then we do comment cards.
Yeah.
And like one of the briskets I ate, when I bit into it, it tasted like lighter fluid.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. So you basically tasted where they were smoke.
Yeah. My first thought that went through my head was a guy sitting in a lawn chair drinking a beer and went to sleep and the fire went out.
Yeah.
And he wakes up in a panic and douses it down and sets it on fire.
I'm guessing that one didn't score very well.
No.
So Casey Joe's is an outstanding one. You would also recommend Pat's in Murfreesboro. I've never been to Pat's.
Oh, you got to go to Pat's.
Okay. To me, 17th Street has kind of it's lost its luster. It's not so good anymore. I think it's overdone, and they've lost their level.
It's not their competition barbecue they won with.
No, not anymore.
Yeah,
not anymore.
Try Pat's. It's excellent.
Fellas, when are we going to barbecue?
I don't want to invite him to my barbecues because he's going to criticize my barbecue. So don't invite him over if you want to barbecue for him.
Jeff's a boiler.
Jeff's a boiler.
He's a boiler.
Jeff's a boiler. Well, I tell you
all
what.
All fish and shrimp.
Well,
crabs.
Yeah. Well, fellas, I am so glad that you were able to make time to get in here today. It's a joy, and the hour just flies by. Thanks again, and the best of luck in your respective areas of expertise.
All right, get ready, Wayne County. We're on the road.
That's the Bruce Dickey Show for today, folks.